hope I'm able to get this through. If I don't make it, well then, I don't make it. And no one will ever hear this. But forget that. Let's focus on the now. Because, well, that's all I've really got. This is Type 4 Human 2599-8294-47. Participating in illegal recording number 0646-7288-7452-01. With intent to broadcast using omnidimensional hardware. This is a creativity crime, and anyone caught with this recording or any copies thereof can and likely will be subject to immediate judgment and subsequent execution. If that hasn't dissuaded you from listening, then it's likely you already hold similar beliefs to mine. It's those who would stray away from hearing my voice right now who are really the ones who need it. But I assume they've stopped listening by now. Let's just hope my message somehow gets to them. Then again, I don't even really know who will be receiving this. I'm not totally familiar with the dimensional hardware that I'll be using to get this out. The physics behind the whole process are really hard to understand, but if I have some time later on, I'll try to explain it. And sorry in advance if there's any interference. Static radio waves are pretty bad around here. And on top of that, the dimension switch needed to broadcast this. There might be interference from an alternate universe, for all I know. I just hope you can hear me clear enough. I'm gonna miss thinking that there's nobody else out there. But now that I've already started doing this, there's no going back. I have a duty to you now. I guess since I was never given a mission, this should be it. My mission. My objective. And if the way I talk seems a bit random to you, then I'm sorry. I don't have any notes, so I might go off on a tangent here or there. But I ask that you bear with me. I have a lot to tell you. Since this is my first recording, I guess I should tell you who this is. Problem is, I don't really know. I know, that sounds weird. I don't have a name. Not many people do anymore. We all just go by our ID codes. The number is under the barcode, tattooed on the inside of your left wrist, about a centimeter below your palm. So I guess I'll start with that. Mine is 2599-8294-47. But I don't like that. I don't like numbers. And I don't like being what they want me to be. So I should think of a name for myself. I guess I could go by the name tattooed right under that. Really blocky letters. Nobody else I know has that, just me. Not sure what it stands for, but I'll worry about that later. So yeah, that'll be my name. Solo. Right now I guess I should go over what I physically look like. I'm taller than most males. Stronger too. But not overly muscular though. I'm not a juicer or anything. But I can hold my own if I have to. I would know. I've killed a juicer. Anyway, back to the looks. My hair's short. Black. No style or embellishment. Just short. Same length all around. Makes it easier to manage that way. Long hair gets dirty. Most people around here don't even have hair. Too many chemicals makes it fall out. Type 1s nearly never have it. Type 2s do sometimes. And I haven't met very many type 3s. But only about half of them had it. I'm pretty sure hair is a big thing in the domes, though. Every outward appearance is a big thing there. But at what cost, you know? Do they even know who they are? Ah, forget that. I'll talk about me first, then go off about them later. I've got time. And since you're listening, I assume you do as well. My eyes are a darkish gray, unlike any of the others created beside me. But that's in my past. I'll cover that later. I would say that I don't look too bad. Then again, I don't look too great either. It's not like I'm a movie star or anything. But then again, let's think about that. Why does our image of beauty come from the cover of a magazine? Why do we care? Why do we care what other people think of us? Especially people we don't even know. Now there's a question for you. I have a lot of scars. Some done by me. The rest, not. Most of them on my arms and chest. But on my left arm, starting at my shoulder, there's a long stripe of lines. One for each person I've killed. 43 black ones for combat. One red one. Number 27. Mercy. My only mercy kill, too. I don't want to talk about that right now. Bet you're wondering why I have so many combat kills, though. Well, I guess to explain that, I should explain where I came from, shouldn't I? See, I was created as a super soldier. Not like the old ones, I know what you're thinking. But they already had him years before he was made. Yes, that's true. But once they finally made the perfect body, they needed the perfect mind. And that's where the lab that created me comes in. Their job was to make the gen mod that turned an ordinary person into a total genius. They first made it so that it could be used after the child was born. But that didn't work. They tried it on infants, teens, adults, any age, any type. It never worked. They all either died upon receiving it or just went insane. Their brains just could not deal with it. So naturally, if it doesn't work after you're born, what do you do? That's right, you do it before the child is born. But that didn't work either. Once again, the children were born dead or insane. By then, the funding for the whole lab was getting a little low. Clients, investors, and the government were all getting a little impatient. After all, it had been 30 years and no great soldier emerged. So they decided to make one last attempt. Creating a completely new human from scratch. Not a clone like the rest of the Type 3s, but a male made of absolute power, built from the ground up. The only Type 4 ever made was a soldier. That soldier was me. I was watched more closely than the rest, pushed harder, held to higher standards. I was the only experiment of that kind. Because about a week after they created me, the funding got cut. And that's why I was in general soldier training, rather than the specialized tactical training my lab was getting ready for me. But when I was about 15, they actually decided to start up the project again. I was the only experiment of that kind. Because about a week after they created me, the funding got cut. That's why I was in general soldier training, rather than the tactical training that my lab was getting ready for me. But when I was about 15, they actually decided to start up the project again, seeing my progress and just how well I was performing. But then came the training incident. Training incident. The irrevocable evidence that I was a failure. The evidence that they were wrong. Upon creating me, they messed up somehow. The experiment counteracted one of the previous mods. Fortunately for me, it counteracted the one that makes you complacent. The one that stops you from talking back. From independently thinking. From beating your superior officer to death. That was the second line on my arm. My first was a supposed training accident. I killed the other soldier I was training with at the time, back when I was about 15. You see, with the soldier program from 12 to 16, all you learn is hand-to-hand free fighting, and you're always pitted against another soldier. Well, I guess that day I got a little carried away. Nobody really noticed. They just assumed I misheard orders. That I thought they told me to kill him. So, nothing bad really came of it. Something bad did come of it, though. Well, before I go on about what happened to me, let me tell you about the facility itself, the soldier program, all that stuff. It turns out this city is the soldier center of the entire continent. Not a bad thing, but not too good either. Since if it got attacked, nobody'd really come to help. That is, unless they'd recently ordered a batch of soldiers. Anyway, back to the program. All of it is held in one giant facility. I don't think they ever said what the place was called, just that it was the facility. The instructors were all type 2s, stone-faced and filled with pure hate. Their job was to train us for 20 years, then ship us off to the highest bidder. It's good business, I must admit. Ground war is always a solid investment, especially since the shift took out all the nukes. The facility was huge. It would take a lifetime to see it all, probably more. Good 5 kilometers long, 5 kilometers wide, 600 stories high, and countless basements, training something like 10,000 troops at a time. Hard to keep up, but really profitable. And you never had to worry about security. Anybody stupid enough to take on a crowd of soldiers is probably too crazy to be a real threat anyway. Anyway, let's talk about me some more. I'm so narcissistic like that. Anyway, after a few weeks, the whole accident thing started messing with my head. My combat efficiency started to drop, so they decided to begin a little reinforcement, so to speak. The commanding officer took a liking to shocking me with a sick stick every time I made the most trivial mistake. This lasted a few weeks, but I started getting angry. First, I used the anger as fuel to get all the training missions done. But that started to not be enough. I needed another release or else I was going to explode. But there was no release. So one day I just couldn't take it anymore. He got that sick stick within a centimeter of my bat. and I turn on him. I knocked him down, held him there with my knee, and proceeded to punch his face until I was just beating red pulp and bone chips, just over and over again. It gets kind of fuzzy after that. I got hit with a whole mix of tranquilizers and opiates thrown into one of the trash trucks. They wanted to kill me, but I'm sure I was so sedated they actually thought they had. But I was alive. The trash truck was taking me with the rest of the load to the incinerator, that load being the bodies of the rest of the soldiers who died that week, including the one I'd killed, and the commanding officer, or what was left of him. Let me tell you a little about the incinerator. I can see it from here, and it's a good 5 or 6 kilometers away. I'm sitting on the roof, so I can see a lot. The incinerator is in the exact epicenter of the city. It's the only source of heat and electricity, so obviously it's extremely valuable. Imagine, if you would, a gigantic dark iron egg sitting in a crater about 500 meters wide, with small windows placed randomly here and there, letting out nothing more than a strange, almost otherworldly red-orange light. Sprouting out of it, from about halfway up, are these pipes connected to the ground, wide enough for me to walk through, without even having to worry about hitting my head. On one side of this thing is a giant hatch, big enough for 2 or 3 trucks to drive through, with these trash trucks always swarming around it like insects. Without the incinerator, we'd all be dead. And the way it works is actually quite efficient. It runs on waste, sewage, clothes, bodies, anything. The flames inside it are so hot that any matter becomes instant fuel. Quite an ingenious invention, actually, once you get past the fact that your cozy winter nights are made possible mainly by hookers, convicts, and stray animals. Anyway, the thing is, before we got to the incinerator, the truck got knocked by a street gang. Probably just some freaks, but I can't really remember. I was still too cracked at that point. All I can really remember is falling over onto my side on the pavement, hearing a couple of gunshots. That must have been when they shot the driver. After that, I blacked out again. Finally woke up again, what must have been, about an hour later. The gang was gone, but I know they took most of the gear from the bodies. I know that because I woke up without my shirt on. But the drugs were starting to do something different, and I could feel something was wrong with my heartbeat. I knew I'd die if I didn't do something about it. Started twitching, getting faint, couldn't see very well. Only then did I realize who the body beside me was. It was the commanding officer. And fortunately for me, that horrible, horrible sick stick was still on his belt. So with my last little bit of strength, I took it out, set it as high as it would go, hit myself in the chest, and blacked out again. Ow. I can still remember that searing pain that shot through my chest that night. God. When I woke up again, my left arm was almost numb, but I was alive, and this time the drugs were fading. By then, the grand majority of the soldier gear was gone, but there was still just enough there for me to get a survival pack together. few canisters of protein rope, some water, a knife, the sick stick, and some clothes. So once I was able to walk again, I got up and began my search for shelter. I wandered for the better part of 5 days, trying to walk off the remnants of the stuff I'd gotten cracked with. Soon enough, I found an old, burnt-out building in a gang-controlled part of the city, where the police don't come unless they have to. You can tell exactly where the cops go and where they don't. If there's only a few freak packs running around, they'll come. But if there's any juicers or irons or chem runners, cops just leave the place alone. It's not like gangs are real good consumers anyway. So I found this building. I think it used to be a bank. The entire top of this thing was literally burnt away. Not sure how. But I can tell it was burned because of the scorch marks on the foundations that are still standing. Everything above the second floor was completely gone. Probably a bomb of some sort, now that I think of it. Could have been one of the older, smaller firestorms. Anyway, so I took up residence in basement 2, where I think an office used to be, since there was a desk with a lamp on it. But the files inside were rotted away, so I couldn't read anything. Couldn't tell what it used to be, where it came from, anything like that. The place had a few things that needed fixing. But I guess I could have called it home. Didn't leak when it rained, so that's always good. Actually, now that I think of it, I don't really dislike the rain. It's gotten me out of quite a few slippery situations, since I'm immune to it. Oh yeah, I guess I should go over that. Since you might not know what rain here is like, you might not know what rain is. Rain today is nothing like it used to be. It used to be clear, beautiful, even romantic. Rain today is just plain dangerous. Especially to type 1s or 2s. With all the pollution in the air anymore, it's kinda hard to survive without gen mods. That's why type 1s are... don't seem to be making it long past 30 anymore. Type 1s, most of them live in the domes anyway, so I really wouldn't know how the majority of them live. Guess I should go over the types of people, shouldn't I? That's the difference, really. Type 1s are, well, they're biologically born humans. No gen mods before or after birth. Type 2s are born but modified humans. Things like, life extension. Could be anything. Type 2s, that's a really broad term. Just not completely organic or completely natural humans. Type 3s are clones. They're the ones who aren't born. They have no parents. Well, I guess you could say they have parents, but nothing, you know. No uterus or sexual things were involved. And, well, I'm a type 4, but I don't really know how to explain that either. I guess since I mentioned it, I should talk about the domes. I've only heard of them, seen pictures. I've never actually seen one firsthand. But I'm not sure they're as nice as they say. They've got all these logos plastered all over them. Kinda creepy if you're not used to it. like the propaganda that they used on me in the facility. But this stuff isn't for a reason like mine was. It's just there to make you buy more things. Which is weird. Don't they know how people live outside? Well, we're worried about, you know, making it through the night or where we're gonna get our next meal. They're sitting in front of the television, thinking that they can change the world if they just change the channel. Too busy with their scripted reality shows, sitcoms, and romantic comedies to realize the world isn't quite so nice. The domes, well, they're exactly that. These massive concrete bubbles placed here and there over the entire landscape of the planet. Every one of them has a gigantic logo on the side of it, proudly stating its blind consumerism as a worthwhile lifestyle. Distraction in place of education. Place where you can commit murder. You'll be escorted away and charged a week's salary. But if you copy data illegally, you'll be shot on sight. Piracy investigations are such witch trials anyway. Nobody really cares if you're innocent there. Data is knowledge. Knowledge is power. And power is something nobody here wants you to have. But I'm not gonna get myself started on the whole data theft issue. I'll probably cover that in another recording. I'm not an info pirate, but I know a few who are. And I think information should be free. People have to learn. It's a right, not a privilege, like they always taught me in the facility. Anyway, after about 5 weeks of living alone, I started to get a little low on food. And I knew that I'd have to come out of that basement sometime. So, I came out again. Wandered around for a few days. Didn't really have any place to go. I stayed low most of the times. Staying in the industrial part of the city. Back alleys, basements, that sort of thing. There's some strange stuff that goes on down there. Had a few encounters, but I'll tell you about them later. If I've got time. I knew I'd have to make some friends if I was going to stay alive. Well, maybe not friends. More allies. And that is when I came across the Black Claw. One of the four freak packs in that part of town. The way I found them, or more, the way they found me, was that I had gotten in a fight with this lightweight juicer over a canister of FA cream. First aid cream. Helps speed up the healing process. Really valuable stuff out here. So anyway, I was fighting this juicer. He had a knife, and all I had on me was my six stick. I tripped, he came at me, and before he could get me with that knife, a couple of bullets sounded off, and he fell over. Dead. I had just been saved by Shade, leader of the Black Claw. Nice guy, too. He was fair. Said I owed him two favors. One was that I had to join. So I did. Good thing it was the Black Claw, too. They're one of the only gangs that don't require an allegiance tattoo. Instead, all you have to do is color your fingernails with this strange black varnish or tar or something. I think it smelled like spoiled booze. But it was discreet and removable. So I didn't really much have a problem with it. I stayed with them for about half a year. Learned a few street rules. Heard a bunch of stories. I'll tell you a few of them in my future recordings. Stories like the one about Dr. Frank, the Desert Walkers, the vampires. There's a whole list of things for me to tell. I should probably write that down somewhere, so I don't forget. But I don't forget very much, so I think I'll be all right. Anyway, my second favorite of Shade was the first and last mission I ever went on with the Black Claw. All we had to do was fight this other freak back. Thing is, we had to destroy it completely. As in, no survivors at all. That was an interesting mission into itself. And the whole problem was we had no battle plan. It was up to Shade, and, you know, I couldn't lend my advice because they didn't trust me yet. I was new. Well, by their standards, I was new. But, yeah. That's one of the only worthwhile things I did learn in that facility. Always have a battle plan. I don't really want to go into too much detail about what happened. It's a little embarrassing, really. But I'll give you the basic rundown. We entered their territory, guns blazing. We tried to go around this one building. Things went bad, then worse, then... yeah. Last thing I remember, it was me and Shade. We were the only ones left. Standing back to back, trying to fight off a sea of crack runners and spike heads and who knows what. A couple of irons thrown in there as well. Next thing I know, get shot in the leg. Nearly takes off the entire side of it. I go down on one knee, and all I see is a boot coming right at me. Catches me in the forehead, and I'm out. Next thing I wake up in the middle of the road, alone. Shade's gone, everybody's gone. It's raining. The clothes have nearly melted off of me. There's a few skeletons lying around me. Can tell which one the irons are because they're missing a few limbs. So I get up and look around. The entire place is drenched. The fight must have stopped. I hope Shade got away, because I didn't see his skeleton. Or his remains. I really hope he did get away. Anyway. I did learn a lot from Black Claw during the time that I was with it. I learned so many things. But mainly, two. Two things. One, always have a battle plan. And two, and this is the big one, I am not a team player. So, for a few weeks I slept in dumpsters. That kind of thing. Tried not to get in any fights. Tried not to be seen at all. And soon I found an old, bombed-out building. One of the few old ones that were still standing. I went in cautiously. Thought there might be a gang holed up in it or something. But fortunately for me, there was nobody there. So I decided to take up residence. Went to the highest floor and turned it into home. Then, when I was moving the desks out a few days ago, something fell on the floor. A J2509 handheld audio recording box. But it didn't look like the other few that I'd seen. This one's wired up with an external chip. Upon closer inspection, I found out that Chip was a highly illegal, omnidimensional broadcaster chip. I decided to hold on to the whole thing. See if I could make any use of it, you know? Then, about 2 hours ago, I decided it'd be in the best to tell my story. So I decided to do it. Throw my voice out there into the folds of time. Now that you know who I am, where I came from, I should tell you where I am. Now, I don't know the exact location, or even the real name of this city, but I can tell you it is in the southeastern part of what used to be known as the United States. I can't remember the name. Ah, I used to know it, I swear I did. It was... Alta? No. Atlas? No. ATL something. But after the war, it got completely redone. The first thing to go up after the incinerator was the wall. I can't see it from here. I'm too close to the incinerator. But it's huge. Probably a good 15 or 20 stories high. Perfect circle of concrete and steel. Built not only to keep out enemies, but the elements as well. On top of it, spaced every kilometer or so, are these towers. On top of each tower is this big automatic four-barrel turret. Quite fear-inducing, to say the least. I'm told they have a range each of 2 kilometers, but I'm not sure about that, and I'm not about to go and check. They all run off a certain software that recognizes whether you're a resident or not. So if you start approaching the wall with the wrong kind of broadcast signal coming off of you, they'll tear you apart. So it's in everyone's best interest to either get the right broadcast hacking software or just stay away. Anyway, after the wall and turrets, they redid the buildings. Almost all of them. Obviously not the one I'm in. This one's one of the old square foundations. But the grand majority of them, the ones that were still standing, got demolished and replaced by the buildings that I see now, all around me. They're big, just like the old ones. Probably bigger, actually. Yeah, a lot of them are taller. But instead of being square, from the bird's eye view, they're streamlined. They're really tall, really long, but thin. Only maybe 10, 15 meters across. As opposed to 100 stories or so high and easily 100 or so meters long. I don't know why they were built like that, but almost all of them are like that. These giant monoliths, splotched with squares of light here and there, staring down at you in the twilight. Then they installed cameras on most of the streetlights. That was a waste of money. Most of them got knocked off or spray-painted within the first year. But some of them still work. They give the cops enough eyes to know what's going on, wherever. Everything in this city is overbearing, really. It's designed to make you feel like that. Small, weak, helpless. Helps keep the people down, going to their jobs, putting all their trust in the police. I don't trust the police. They have a whole history to themselves. I'll cover them in another recording as well. Well. I'd like to talk to you longer, but I guess I've just run out of things to say. So, yeah. Well, now you know who's talking to you, at least. You know where I came from, and kind of where I am. I guess you can judge from that whether you can trust me or not. But judging by the fact that you've listened to me this long, I'm assuming that you think you can trust me, even if only a little. That's nice enough to know. Assuming anyone's actually listened this long. And even then, assuming that anyone started listening in the first place. I hope this goes somewhere where people can use it. Research and whatnot. Maybe it'll go into the future so that people can see just how things changed. I'm hoping it'll go to the past so that they can stop whatever it was from starting. Then again, what was it? What was the problem? What changed? I really don't know anything more than my immediate surroundings. All the impressions of the outside world that I got was propaganda in the facility and stories from the Black Claw, either of which I'm not really sure I can trust. Shade told me a few things. I'll cover those later as well. I just wish I had more books. I've got a few. But nothing that really matters. I've got magazines, but I don't even read those. Those I use for fire. Well, I guess I should wrap this whole thing up. A few of the stories that I was told, I'll tell you later. This recording box has only got a certain amount of battery. It's not quite out yet. I mean, I've got maybe half an hour left, but I can't think of anything else to tell you. Nothing that would take less than half an hour. So I guess I'll just sign off on that note. On the note that I really hope this gets somewhere. So here I sit. On a couch made from an old bus seat. On the roof of a building with likely a worse past than mine. Holding a small dimensional broadcast recording box. Hoping I can make it to the beam point unseen. Or else no one will even hear me. I'll try to get another recording out as soon as I can. But no guarantees I'll make it. Until then, I'll just hope. Because that's all I've really got.